This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. And we're going to talk a little bit about, it's kind of a form of spiritual warfare. I say spiritual warfare because depression and discouragement can be pretty fierce, huh? When you think of war, you think of something fierce, and the devil loves to bring discouragement, depression. And so this is a story of David's life. His conflict with the Amalekites, but more so his conflict internally. It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacking Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Now, let me just remind you that the Amalekites, Amalek was a type of sin in our lives. And that's what sin does. It comes in and it tries to conquer. It tries to rob us of ourselves, our love, our compassion. And it also robs us of our loved ones, as it was here. They came in and they took their wives and children. These guys are out, you know, doing what they're doing. And the enemy came in, the Amalekites, and took their wives and their sons and their daughters away and burned the city. When Samuel came to Saul, he told him to kill all of the Amalekites, including the king, Agag. And if you remember the story, it's about 15 chapters, or I think about 15 chapters before here. Saul allowed the king and some of them to live. And we're told to mortify the flesh. We're told to kill the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are always at war with each other, and we are to crucify the flesh, which means the lust and greed and pride and jealousy and envy and unforgiveness and all the works of the flesh. We're supposed to crucify it, reckon it dead to sin and alive to God. And just as Samuel the prophet told Saul to kill all the Amalekites and he let them live, they will always come back, just as the flesh will always come back to try to destroy you and your family and your kids and your spouse. Amen. And when we take this story even farther in history and we get to the book of Esther, we see that Haman, who was going to exterminate all the Jews, was an Agagite. And remember, the king of the Amalekites was Agag. In other words, he was a descendant of the king that Saul let him live. And again, if you do not crucify the flesh, it will come back to destroy you, just as Haman was going to destroy them. And so, all through the history of Israel, one of the things that is constantly fighting or tormenting against the people of God are the Amalekites, again, just as the flesh is always warring against the spirit in our life. And so, verse 2, they took away the captives, the women, I read that already, the small and great, didn't kill anyone but carried them away. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, I don't know if you've ever been so grieved that you cried until nothing could come out of your mouth. And I think some of us have probably done that before. It's one thing to cry. It's one thing to weep. But when you are so heartbroken and so devastated that you cry so long you don't have the power to cry anymore, that your mouth is open and nothing's coming out, your heart is broken, aren't you glad that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted? Amen. And so this is the grief level of David and his men. They came back and the enemy has destroyed their land and stolen their families, and they are destitute. And so they wept until there was no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, if you remember, Abigail was this woman who David and his men, you know, they're on the lam, so to speak. They're traveling and they needed food. And this fellow Nabal, his men were out shearing sheep. And David and his men protected them so that anybody that came by was going to harass them. They'd say, get away from these guys. They're good guys. And so then David sent word by one of his servants to Nabal asking for a little bit of food and told him how we watched over your men while they were shearing sheep and, you know, not enough, and so on. And Nabal was a scoundrel. His name, I think, if I remember correctly, means something like scoundrel. And he had a little bit of what we'd call money. He had cattle and property. And he said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse that I should, you know, give him food off my table? And so David, you know, he and his men were men of war. And after all being good to them, they said, okay, fine, we'll just go kill the guy and take what we want. We just asked, you know. And Abigail met, if you remember the story, heard what was going on. Now, she's married to the scoundrel. She probably could have just said, fine, you know. He's been a jerk to me all these years. Go ahead and take him out. But she, being a woman of virtue, met David with figs and bread and wine and gave him all these supplies and asked him not to do this. And so David saw what a wonderful, godly woman she was and spared her husband. And when she went back and he finally sobered up because he was on a binge, she told him what had happened. And the Bible says his heart died within him. In other words, he had a heart attack, Nabal did. And he lived about three more days and fell over. And guess what? David got the girl, right? And so this is one of those, Abigail is that woman, along with the other, that has been taken captive. So this is not just a concubine. This is a very special, precious woman in the eyes of David. And so now, as if that's not enough, David was greatly distressed, for the people were speaking of stoning him because the souls of all the people were grieved, and every man for his son and his daughter. And you know, this is not uncommon with people who are hurting. I have to remind myself sometimes when people attack me that hurting people hurt people. They don't mean to. They're just hurting inside, and you're the one they lash out at. Maybe you didn't even do it, but you just happen to be convenient, or maybe they want to blame you. It's real easy for people to want to blame someone who's involved in something, even though it wasn't David's fault. You know, they're following David, and somehow, you know, he didn't do it. The Amalekites did it. But they're talking about stoning David. If you remember, this is what happened when Moses was going to say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, well, okay, they can just make bricks without straws. And sometimes the situation gets worse before it gets better, and the people who you're trying to help can turn on you and begin to say, well, you know, look what you've done now. Why don't you just quit helping me? You know, and that's what happened with Moses. And so to say that David was greatly distressed is probably putting it mildly. You know, he's lost his family. His friends have lost their family. And then the very people he calls brothers are turning on him, talking about stoning him. David was greatly distressed. Just put yourself in his place for a minute before we go on. How would you deal with that? How would you deal with that when your closest family has turned on you? Sometimes we've all experienced that, haven't we? Maybe a family member's turned on you. A son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, maybe even a mother and a father or a best friend. It can be heartbreaking. You don't know how to deal with it. You say, God, I don't know how to deal with this. And on top of them, of course, turning on him, you know, he doesn't know if his wives are dead or alive. And so David said, oh, wait, hold it. I don't want to skip this part. So David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the souls of the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. Here we go. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, the King James Version says it better. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about for a little bit this morning. We may never face the kind of challenges that David faced in our text, but that doesn't mean we don't feel at times just as greatly distressed as David felt. Like I said, we've probably all had family members that have turned on us. We've lost loved ones, not in this particular manner, but maybe ones that have just passed away, and we can be heartbroken. And so we don't even know how to process that. It's emotionally bigger than we are. It's a mountain, so to speak. And David was facing the same thing. But our text this morning says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes the only person in your life that's going to help you is the Lord. We know he's the only one that really can help us in a supernatural way. And thank God for friends that encourage us. But you know, you can have a friend come to you and encourage you, and you can be feeling good, and they won't be out the front door 5 minutes, and all of that depression just comes right back on you. Amen. All of that fear, all of that anxiety, all of that, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, can come right on you. And so we need to learn what David knew, and that is, how do I encourage myself in the Lord? How do I do that? Well, all I can tell you is, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say how David encouraged himself. Now, you can read the Psalms. I think some of the Psalms tell us, when we look at David facing the giant Goliath, one of the things we can glean from that story about David is that he tells Saul, you know, when I watched my dad's sheep and the lion or the bear would come, the Lord would help me grab them by the hair of the chin or whatever, and I'd kill them. And so David knew the Lord had helped him before, and so the Lord would help him now. Amen? And so one of the ways we can glean from David how to encourage ourselves in the Lord is to remember when God bailed us out before, when God met a need before, when God dried the tears before, because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so if God helped you before, do you think he's going to let you drown now? If God helped you before, do you think he's going to abandon you now? If God helped you before, do you think he's going to just say, hey, I'm fresh out of help today and you're on your own? No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know what he's going to do tomorrow because I got a record of what he did yesterday. Can I get an amen? So God is good all the time. And so one of the ways we can encourage ourselves in the Lord is remember what he did for me yesterday. Remember when he met my financial needs. Remember when he healed me. Remember when he rescued me from this particular circumstance, and begin to meditate on that. One of the ways that I encourage myself in the Lord, and I know I've mentioned this more than once, is the ABCs. Because when you're depressed, you don't have the words to encourage yourself. So sometimes you need a script. You know, I remember when I first got saved and I was at some church, and some churches have prayers written in the back of their hymnal or something. And they'll say, you know, after we sing number 45, turn to prayer number 98 or something. And everybody reads this prayer, and I thought, well, this is silly. I don't need a prayer to know how to pray. I just pray from my heart. But sometimes if you're depressed and discouraged, you need a little help. You need a script. And what I do is I take the alphabet and I think about hymns. You know, Amazing Grace, and, you know, the Beatitudes, or Calvary, ABC. And it's not just thinking about it. See, words of my mouth program my heart. You can't just think about it if you're going to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to get it out your mouth. The mouth, the tongue, is the creative force of God. God created the universe not by thinking, let there be light. He said, let there be light. Amen? And all through the Gospels, we hear, you know, the centurion, just say the word and I know my servant will be healed. And so the spoken word is the power of God. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. But the first thing you have to do is say something. Amen? And it's not the problem. You don't speak the problem. You speak the word of God. You speak the answer. Amen? And so I'll just give you an example, Amazing Grace. Father, I just thank you for your amazing grace right now. I thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you died on the cross for me. And your grace saved me. On November 21st, 1979, when I walked that aisle to that altar, you saved me by that amazing grace, the unmerited favor of God. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. There wasn't anything I did to deserve it. But by that amazing grace, you forgave my sins and wrote my name in heaven. Amen. And then praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God, you heavenly host. Praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? And then Calvary, you know? And I mean, I'm just doing ABC here, but you get the feel of it, right? As you begin to let these words come out of your mouth, it's pretty hard to be discouraged when you're speaking the encouraging words of God, the encouraging songs of God, the encouraging Spirit of God. And you begin to think about, Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord, for Calvary. I want to thank you that you took a beating for me. Your back was open with whips. Those Roman soldiers just tore your back up and they shoved that crown of thorns upon your head, Lord. And I can't imagine the pain you went through for me. And then you carried that cross up that down that road and up that hill of Calvary. And you were nailed to that cross for me. And you suffered and you bled. And there was cruel mockings ridiculing you. And you could have called 10,000 angels, but I would have been eternally lost, Lord. But you hung on that cross for me that day. And you stuck it out and you took the torment and the pain and the humiliation for me on Mount Calvary. And today I'm saved because of that great act of love that you demonstrated for me 2,000 years ago. How can you be depressed when you begin to say those things? Amen? And so just find a script. Find whatever works for you. And at your lowest point, pull it out and put it into practice. I recall I was sharing this with someone just recently. I have a cousin, my cousin Debbie, and she's been here before, and her daughter Leslie Aaron, who sings, who had a CD on the top 40 gospel, a wonderful girl. Well, my cousin Debbie's the same age as me, and one day, it's been about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I guess, she was watching Leslie's little girl, her granddaughter, while Leslie, her daughter, was away out with her husband. I don't know if they were on a date or what. And she took her eyes off of little Mackenzie for 1 second, and the baby fell in their pool. And we got the call, please pray, we're in the hospital. And the baby did not live. Heart-wrenching. I mean, you talk about greatly distressed, like David. How can, you know, the loss of a child, it's, you can't even put it into words. And so I went out to visit my cousin Debbie. This is the baby's grandmother and her daughter, the baby's mother. And I ministered a little bit to Leslie, but you know, my cousin Debbie, she was holding the brunt of the responsibility because she was watching. And you know how the devil loves to pour guilt and shame and all these things on her. And I would just basically let her talk. And then I would say to my cousin Debbie, Deb, I don't know why this happened, but I know that God loves me and you. And I will not exchange what I do not know for what I do. And then she would talk a little more, and we would cry together. And then I would nod, and I would acknowledge all of this. And then I'd say, well, I understand, Deb, and I can't tell you why this happened. But I know that God loves you, and I know that God loves me, and I will not exchange what I do not know for what I do. Because, see, the devil wants you to focus on that. So I went my way, and I called her a couple of days later to see how they were doing, and her mother, my Aunt Emma, were at Arby's down the street. And so I said, well, let me come down and get a Coke, and I'll join you, and sat down with them and said, how you doing, Deb? And she looked at me and said, I'm okay. I know God loves me. And I'm not going to exchange what I do not know for what I do. And you know, whatever it takes, we cannot let the devil win in times of heartache. We, like David, have to find a way to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. And we hold on to the fact that God is good even in times when life does not make any sense. Because when it's all over, He will dry every tear and we will rule and reign with Him. So we have to hold on and encourage ourselves in the Lord. So after this, in our text, David called Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, and he told him to bring him the ephod. And Abiathar brought him the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" You know, David was in no condition to do warfare in his mental state until he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes people carry something with them, and they don't handle that. They carry loss, they carry grief, they carry these things for years, and they don't get healed. They just go on and try to just cope. Amen. God doesn't want you to cope. He wants you to be victorious. And you got to get the healing, the emotional healing first. And then you can go on with life. Amen. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he's in a position to go get his woman. Amen. To go get his wives and his kids and these guys. And so he asks the Lord, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answers him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all." And without fail, recover all. You know, God is good at making recompense. If you've lost something, God will make it up to you. You know, when you look at Job, we're reminded the end of Job was twice as much as he lost. Amen? And someone said, "Well, he didn't get twice as many kids." That's because he didn't lose them. They just went on ahead of him. Amen? That's the only thing you don't see two times of, because you don't lose the kids. They just go to heaven before you. Amen? And so David now is in a position to go and recover all. You know, what the devil stole, God's got to pay back. Amen? Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus makes the devil pay back what he stole from you? I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. I'm taking it back, my joy, my peace, my song, my dance. I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. Are you ready to take it back, church? I said, are you ready to take it back? If you've encouraged yourself in the Lord, you are in a position to take back what the devil has stole from you. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and he came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook. You know, and that's okay. You know, you don't need 600 men. You need 400 that have it all together. Amen? And so leave the weary ones behind. That's okay. And then they found an Egyptian in the field. And they brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate. And they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of a fig and two clusters of raisin. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drank water for 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" Now, I want you to notice here before we read on. They're on a mission to get their family back. But David ministered to someone who was on death's door, an Egyptian, not even a Jew, not an Israelite. He ministered. You know, in our life, we may be on our way to something very important, but we need to remember that if God brings something, someone in our lives that needs ministering to, it is important that we stop what we're doing, because we don't know that that person isn't sent from God for a reason. Amen. And, you know, James tells us, you know, some of us have entertained angels unaware, right? But God has a reason for everything. I said God has a reason for everything. And we don't want to take anything for granted. If we have an opportunity to minister to someone, we need to do that. And so he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind, because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites and the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So this dude was with them. He's an Egyptian. He's not an Amalekite. But he was a servant of them, and he was with them when they burned Ziklag. So David said to him, well, can you take me down to these troops? See what happens when you minister to someone on the way? They may be the very step you need for your destiny. And if you fail to minister to that person, you may fail what God has planned for your life. So don't get in a hurry. And always be ready to touch a life. And so he swear to me by my God. So swear to me by my God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me to the hand of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. All right. I'm not going to kill you. I promise. And I won't turn you over to the Amalekites. And so when he brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. So basically 24 hours of massacre. Can you imagine these 400 guys, David and his mighty men, they put some whoop on them, didn't they? And not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all. Everybody say all. All. That's right. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. And then David took all of the flocks and herds that had been driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Amen. You know, he got back what the enemy stole, and then he took the livestock as a spoil. Amen. And I tell you, everything changed when David encouraged himself in the Lord. And in your life, you will be at a fork in the road many times when life deals you a hard blow. And you may stagger, and you may stumble, and you may question God, and you may shed hard tears, and you may do a lot of these things. But when it's all said and done, you will either encourage yourself in the Lord, or you will crash and burn. Amen? And if you encourage yourself in the Lord, then the enemy will give back everything he stole, and you will end up with even more than you had before. Amen. He's a liar. He's a liar. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said praise God. I said praise God. You know, the God we serve is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or hope or think. But he gives us a free will. Amen. He gives us a free will. And, you know, that free will means that we can either mope around in depression, we can speak our problems. And, you know, I love ministering to people who have problems, but at some point you got to quit talking about your problem and start talking about God. Amen. You know, it's okay to share your heart and to say how you feel. And I don't mean to be insensitive. But at some point, if you're going to get victory, you got to start speaking the word of God. Amen. You got to start talking like you're victorious. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to say, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to use for good. You got to start saying, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You got to start saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible told me so. Amen. And whatever it takes, let the word of God proceed out of your mouth. Encourage yourself in the Lord, and victory is just ahead. Amen. Let's all stand and pray. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you today. And Lord, I just pray right now for anybody here in the congregation, anybody watching through Facebook that is very discouraged right now. Maybe they've came up against something that is even greater than David's, which seems horrendous. Maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe you've lost your health. Maybe you've lost your job. You don't know what to do. You're facing an impassable wall, and you are just so discouraged. You maybe you're even thinking about suicide. I have good news for you. Jesus loves you. You don't have to do that. It may look like your future is bleak, but you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can let the word of God proceed out of your mouth. You can stand upon the promises of God. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And so I pray for those who may be discouraged this morning. I ask, Lord, that you help them take this message and begin to apply it to their lives. Oh, yes, we pray that you touch them and that you heal them. But we know, Lord, there are certain things in our life as Christians that you will do, and there are certain things that we must do. And you didn't just send an angel and bring back David's family, but you did allow David to encourage himself in the Lord. And once he had done that, he was in a position to bring them back. And so I pray, Lord, for the people watching, the people here, that you would help us, Lord, to put into practice this encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And in so doing, glean the victory that comes in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And give someone a big hug before you go.